This is an ABC podcast.
We acknowledge Australia's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, the traditional custodians of lands, waterways and skies across Australia. We pay our respect to elders past, present and future. When you've been through any form of disaster, be it a cyclone or a terrorist attack, your world can feel out of whack in all sorts of ways. And while you can feel like you'll never be in a stable place again, it's important to know that this part will pass and you will move beyond this time. When the event you've experienced is violent, something deliberately caused by another human being, it can come with extra challenges that bring extra layers. They can also be overcome, but it might feel different to a disaster that was caused by a freak accident or a weather event. My name's Kate Brady, and today on After the Disaster, we're looking at what to do after you've experienced a disaster that was caused by violence or a deliberate act. In this episode, we talk about mental health in detail. If it brings anything up for you, there are always places you can go to for help. You can see a GP, and they'll help connect you to a psychologist or a mental health worker. You can also go to beyondblue.org.au, and there are resources and support channels there. Or you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 to speak to someone. That's 13 11 14.
Are we recording now?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. I'm Richard Bryant. I'm a professor of psychology at the University of New South Wales, and my area has been understanding mental health effects after trauma. What we now know is that one in four people might end up having a psychological problem if they're being deeply exposed to a disaster. What those disorders are, it ranges. People often think of post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a common one that causes people a lot of distress. But that's not the only problem people have. Anxiety and depression is very, very common. Suicidality is common, as is substance abuse. But there's a lot of other sort of related problems. We know that anger and domestic violence is quite common. The risk of that increases after disasters. And I think the other thing to note about the psychological problems that can develop is that they're not static. They tend to fluctuate over time. So in the Black Saturday fires, where we were going back every few years and checking on people, what we found is that the basic rates of mental distress sort of stayed the same, but they weren't the same people. So some people were doing better at one point than another. And really the key factor was just what was going on in people's lives at that time. Am I having trouble rebuilding? Am I having insurance problems? It's just life. And as those are actually building up, people's mental health sort of gets eroded.
When disasters have an element of deliberate violence or destruction, like terrorism or arson, what's different about those events?
Whenever there's a trauma where it's been inflicted by another person, and it could be anything from terrorism, which is happening on a large scale, to something quite focused, which could be an assault, you know, one-on-one. We know that those lead to higher rates of psychological problems than natural disasters, for example. If something happens to me and it's because of evil intent of another person, we do feel that we have been persecuted. And it does make us more, you know, it gives us a great sense of vulnerability.
When you see news coverage about this, or you see politicians talking after, say, terrorism events or big events where there's been violence, what do people get wrong in that commentary? Like, what do you wish people knew about what happens to the people affected by these sort of disasters?
I mean, we do know now that the media does play an incredible role when it comes to perpetuating the sense of the world is a dangerous place. We know that the media feeds off bad news, people are going to get glued to the TV or the radio or the social media, you know, when it's gloom and doom. And we've seen a lot of that during COVID. It's very simple, particularly for the, let's call them the more radical media, who basically get ratings and get attention out of stirring up sort of social agendas. And again, we've seen a lot of that during COVID. They do like to engender a lot of perceptions in the public about who are the good people and who are the evil people. It increases greatly the sense of fear that people have, that I cannot keep myself safe because there are these evil people. It could be terrorists, it could be arsonists, it could be people spreading, you know, viruses. It does make people feel incredibly insecure, and I cannot feel safe. And when it comes to more malevolent sort of events, this can easily then spill over into, you know, blaming segments of society. So, you know, it leads to, in the worst sense, you know, hate crime and victimizing certain, could be cultural groups, ethnic groups, religious groups, or whoever.
If you're a member of those groups, you cop it twice then, because you're a member of a society where something bad has happened, and then you're not safe because people are blaming you.
Yeah, and it doesn't let up, you know, which is very, very unfortunate.
If you've been through a traumatic or violent event and you're feeling overwhelmed, there are some really key things that you can do to help yourself and the people around you. The first thing to do is to make sure you're safe right now.
You know, if it's a pandemic, get vaccinated. Socially isolate. If it's a fire, get into a safe place. If it's a terrorist attack, you want to be somewhere where it's safe again.
Alongside immediate safety, something that will have a massive impact on your recovery is being connected to other people. There will be times where this might be tricky, like if you're going through a lockdown or if you've been hospitalized as a result of the event. But it's really worth finding ways to connect, even if it's harder than normal.
The impact of just having social connections with the people that we trust can have on our brain function, on our stress systems biologically, on so many sort of functions. It's really important. And it's not just about being with people, but it's how we are with people. So you want to have it in the amount that you want, and it's got to be of the nature that you want. So you don't want to just get together with people and just ruminate on how terrible the world is. Not helpful, but, you know, we do need to have that social interaction in a way that's supportive and more corrective. I guess the other, you know, key things that people need to do is always try to calm themselves down. And then in the immediate aftermath, it's very simple. Things like, you know, we're not going to go crazy drinking caffeine. We're going to try to sort of maintain a regular sleep pattern. Try to sort of maintain a routine, which often people forget. But the simple things like making one's bed or doing one's job or cooking for the kids. I mean, the very simple things, getting life back to normal is incredibly reassuring because at least that's something we can control and we can predict. And that's very helpful for our moving forward.
Richard says that focusing on the elements of your life that you can take charge of can help make you feel calmer and in the driving seat at a time where lots of things can feel out of your control. You can control your bedtime, what you eat, how much you exercise. You can't control whether there will be an aftershock, when the insurance company will respond to your email, or when a court case might happen. Find what you can control and focus on it. That's very powerful for your well-being.
There's also the issue of just optimism and hope. It's important to sort of have this expectation that we will recover, both as a community and as an individual. And so it's engendering this sense of optimism. And again, this is where community leaders, it's where media, it's where government are so important, because they can be communicating exactly the opposite, that the world is gloom and doom and it's never going to get better. But we need to understand that humanity's been through disasters, you know, and crises. And you look at, you know, Second World War, First World War. There's people in the Middle East and in Africa. I mean, they've gone through terrible wars and conflicts. They're dragging on and on for many years. But, you know, there has to be the expectation that we can sort of, you know, recover and have hope about the future. If it's a longer-term problem, and if someone is actually, once the threat has passed and these problems are persisting, then clearly people need to reach out and get help, you know, from a mental health professional.
If you've been through a violent or a human-caused disaster, it's natural to feel really jarred. Not only have you been made to feel unsafe, but your sense of the world has been impacted for a time. It's normal to feel frightened or angry or bewildered. Find a way to make sure that you and the people around you are as safe as you can be. And then look for the elements in your life that you have an impact on and take control of those elements. Try as best you can to establish a routine, even if it's just for a while, and look after yourself. Connect with the people around you, even if that means having to ask for help to do that. Don't be alone in this time. And know, this time will pass. We're resilient and we're stronger than we realise. There is a future beyond this time. If you're feeling overwhelmed, there is help out there. There are professionals who can help you to recover from this. You can see your GP and they'll connect you to a mental health worker like a psychologist. You can also go to beyondblue.org.au and there are lots of resources there. Or you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 to speak to someone. That's 13 11 14. You've been through something really big. Take your time and take care of yourself as best you can. After the Disaster has been produced with the support of Australian Red Cross and the University of Melbourne. Our executive producer and editor is Liz Keane from Headline Productions. Fact checks are by Shona Witten. The supervising producer is Philip Ashley Brown, and our distribution producer is Zoe Walker. Our sound engineer is Grant Walter. And I'm Dr. Kate Brady.
Stay connected in an emergency with ABC Radio, your official emergency broadcaster. Find your local frequency and see incidents in your area at abc.net.au/emergency.